Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the readings for the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. Let's take a look at the first reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. In other words, they all served one another, shared with one another, so that in one sense, everybody was on an equal plane. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them, for those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Now that passage from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, 32 to 35, those verses clearly depict signs of people of faith. Really, people of faith. They were of one heart and one mind. Are you of one heart and one mind with everyone in your parish? That doesn't mean you all have to agree, but one heart and one mind in that you respect one another, you can hear one another, you might come from different angles, but you have a desire to further foster respect and honor in another person. And so you get to know them, you seek to know them, because each of us is made in the image and likeness of God. If we want to know God better in a certain sense, to see how God reveals himself in different personalities, different gifts, different backgrounds, different languages, all kinds of things can be different in us. But if we belong to God, if we have faith in him, then that faith should be seen by the way we treat others and we are treated. There should be kindness and respect, listening ear, mercy, justice. All of those things should be reflected in the people with whom we most commonly worship. The question is it? Don't just say, well, no, we don't do anything in our parish. No, it's you. It's each of us bearing witness to the goodness of God by the way we treat other people. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. I was hard-pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. That's what people need to hear from you. Where you turned to God and God triumphed in you. Something changed in you because you put your faith in God. You see each person as made in his image and likeness. We may have marred it by our sin, but each of us is made in his image and likeness. And we're called to bear one another's burdens. We're called to help one another on the path to salvation. That's an expression of God's mercy working through us. Some people can say to me, well, I have great devotion to St. Faustina. That's good. That's good. But the real test of whether you have great devotion to St. Faustina is that you've heeded the message that the Lord gave us through her and that you're seeking to live it out. No hypocrisy here. Sometimes you hear this comment, they're street angels and house devils. They're street angels and house devils. In other words, when we're out among the public, we're one way. And then when we're home within the confines of our own house, we're very different. Take a look, brothers and sisters, where there's hypocrisy, where you say one thing and do another, or you're one way with one group of people and totally the other way with another group of people. You need the mercy of God. Repent for that and ask God for grace and help that you might become really a disciple of his mercy toward others. There's no better place to be. The second reading is taken from the letter of St. John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. The grace, the strength, the power, the wisdom from the sacraments is in you. You have to activate it, as I've said so often. Lord, let the gifts of my baptism flourish in me. Let the gifts of confirmation flourish in me, and so on. And then repent when you fail. You will know the mercy of God, and you will be strengthened to be a sign of that mercy for other people. Don't let this just be, oh, a nice day. It's nice, Divine Mercy Sunday. That's a nice thing. No. You become a disciple of that mercy. You both receive it, and then you give it away. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." That's you, brothers and sisters. This is the word to his disciples. It's for all of us. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." He's giving them the authority to be his priests. But the call is to every one of us as his disciples, to love one another, to forgive one another, to serve. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Oh, Thomas, the doubter. But all of us have a little of Thomas in us, don't we? We find it hard sometimes to believe what Jesus says and what Jesus does. Ask for faith. Ask for faith. Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, although the doors were locked. Can you imagine? They must have been frightened. And he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, now, he wasn't, quote, in the room a few moments before when Thomas was saying that, I won't believe unless I can touch his wounds. But now, he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Bring your hand, put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Look at that mercy of God to come to him personally because he struggled with doubt so deeply. Look what God did. He spoke to him personally. And Thomas answered, and he said to him, "My Lord and my God." That's all he could say. He knew that. "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me?" And now this next verse is for you and me. "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." That's you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. God had us in mind when he said that. Ask for greater faith. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. This is the mercy of God, that he takes us poor, weak, broken sinners, doubting him left, right, and center, and he pours out his mercy on us and reveals himself to us. St. Faustina said this, O greatly merciful God, infinite goodness, today all mankind calls out from the abyss of its misery to your mercy, to your compassion, O God. And it is with a mighty voice of misery that it cries out, Gracious God, do not reject the prayer of this earth's exiles. We're exiled from heaven. O Lord, goodness beyond our understanding, who are acquainted with our misery through and through, and know that by our own power we cannot ascend to you. We implore you, fill us with your grace and keep on increasing your mercy in us, that we may faithfully do your holy will all through our lives and at the hour of death. Let the omnipotence of your mercy shield us from the darts of our salvation's enemies, that we may with confidence as your children await your final coming. O Lord, she prays, I want to be completely transformed into your mercy, to be your living reflection. That's a call to all of us, really. But she personally heard it and took it to heart. What about you? May we be completely transformed into your mercy and be your living reflection. May the greatest of all divine attributes, that of your unfathomable mercy, pass through my heart and soul to my neighbor. When you know the mercy of God, you really know the mercy of God. You can't contain it. You have to share it. Help me, O Lord, that my eyes may be merciful, so that I may never suspect or judge from appearances. We do a lot of that. I may never suspect or judge from appearances, but look for what is beautiful in my neighbor's souls and come to their rescue. Help me, O Lord, that my ears may be merciful, so that I may give heed to my neighbor's needs and not be indifferent to their pains and their moanings. Help me, O Lord, that my tongue may be merciful, so that I should never speak negatively of my neighbor, but have a word of comfort and forgiveness for all. Help me, O Lord, that my hands may be merciful and filled with good deeds, so that I may do only good to my neighbors and take upon myself the most difficult and the toilsome tasks. Help me, O Lord, that my feet may be merciful, so that I may hurry to assist my neighbor, overcoming my own fatigue and my own weariness. Help me, O Lord, that my heart may be merciful, so that I myself may feel all the sufferings of my neighbor. May your mercy, O Lord, rest upon me. O Jesus, I want to live in the present moment, to live as if this were the last day of my life. I want to use every moment scrupulously for the greater glory of God, to use every circumstance for the benefit of my soul. I want to look upon everything from the point of view that nothing happens without the will of God. God of unfathomable mercy, pray for me. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.